A routine is a good thing to have. And sometimes a routine is a good thing to break. Break free. Start your morning at McDonald's with a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, or sausage McGriddles for just $1 each. And add any size soft drink for just $1 more. Because if you don't deserve a morning that's a little easier and a lot tastier, who does? Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. A routine is a good thing to have. And sometimes a routine is a good thing to break. Break free. Start your morning at McDonald's with a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, or sausage McGriddles for just $1 each. And add any size soft drink for just $1 more. Because if you don't deserve a morning that's a little easier and a lot tastier, who does? Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Aloha, everybody. This is Kathy Bilski, the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show on UPRN Radio. And this is September 21st. Oh, no, we're in Saturday. Oh, gosh, I am in Washington, D.C., so it's like 12 o'clock at midnight this time, so I'm into the next day. But it's actually the 20th for everybody else out there. Tonight, I'm going to have a really special show. You know, I've been doing a series on prisons, what it's like to be in prison, and, you know, what happens. We talked about what it's like to be in women's prison in Florida and touched a little bit on how we can help immigrants. And I've got a very special guy coming on, Zachary, from California, and we're going to talk about what actually happens in the LA County Jail. Now, for those of you that haven't listened to the show and going, God, how do you get started in this? Well, just briefly, I watched the show Orange is the New Black, and I have to say, if you haven't seen it, you really do need to look at it. It's about what it's like to be a woman in prison. And, you know, they did add humor to it. And I asked my friend, who's an ex-inmate in Florida, you know, if she watched it, because this is all I have to compare it to with people in prison. And she says, yeah, it was pretty much what they were showing to you, except it wasn't quite so funny. And the last season, the last couple of shows, they did a lot of real life with immigrants coming on and what our government is doing to immigrants. And it just tore me up. It tore me up. I had nightmares. I couldn't sleep, but it got me to take action where I went online. Now, how hard is this? Google it, you guys. How can we help immigrants in prison? And you can even do people in prison, because there's, if you don't realize that the United States has the largest prison population in the world. I mean, when you think about, each one of us is a hairbreadth away from going to prison or jail or incarceration of some kind. So this is real. And there's a lot of things that are going on that we turn a blind eye to, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And I'm not saying that people that go to prison and jail shouldn't be held accountable. You know, that's why they go there, but they should be treated humanely and they shouldn't get raped or beaten almost to death because the guards have total say and, you know, word just doesn't get out on what happens. So one of the things is that, like I've mentioned, is I've been bringing people on to talk about it. So you understand what's going on, and maybe you can take some action, because there are things we can do. And one of the things, and we'll talk about that later, but right now I want to bring Zach on. Aloha, Zach. Thank you for coming on.
Good evening, Kathy, and thank you as well for the opportunity.
I really appreciate you coming on and being brave enough to come on and talk about some of your life experiences, because they've been easy.
Well, before I go any further, let me also say good evening to your listeners as well. This is quite the exciting opportunity for me as well. So again, thank you for the opportunity.
Well, yeah, like I mentioned, we talked about prisons, and one of the places you actually didn't go to prison, you went to the LA County Jail.
That is correct, Kathy. Interestingly enough, I was a very rare case, if you will, no pun intended. My charge was most definitely a prison offense, and by all means, I should have gone to prison. But the system, the court system, has a way of doing things the way they want to. And in my case, I had a judge that saw fit that I would finish my term in county jail and be released from county. But as I mentioned, it is considered a prison term, and it was also a strike as well. So the strike in itself, you know, does let you know that this was definitely a prison sentence, but for whatever reason, the judge just did not send me to prison.
Well, you wouldn't call county jail a resort, would you?
Of course not. Now, county jail is a prison in a sense. No, county jail is absolutely not a resort. Very, very far from that, of course.
Okay, I want you to explain to me, what are some of the procedures, you know, that you go through to get processed when you're going into the county jail?
Okay, well, this last experience I had was probably the most nerve-wracking of them all, just because of, you know, somewhat of the severity of it. And
severity, what are you talking about? Your act?
The nature of the offense.
Which what?
Well, it is considered, I believe, 245A, which is assault with a deadly weapon.
Uh-huh.
And on June 22nd of 2016, I was out one night, in the early mornings, and had an altercation with a young man. And I did have a weapon on me, and it did result in some pretty serious injuries that happened, that's what I mean when I say, you know, the severity of the offense.
Okay, so now, what are the procedures? What do you go through in processing at the county jail?
Well, what was really interesting about this time, unfortunately, was that they would not hold me in the Pasadena jail because of, again, the nature of the crime. So they sent me within hours immediately to county jail, which usually wouldn't be the case. You'd usually stay there, you know, in Pasadena for a few days, and then you'd go from there. But they were not able to hold me within a few hours. They'd already had me sent to county jail. So it was immediately, things just started happening very quickly. So before you know it, I'm at county jail, and the process, you know, just to walk through everything, the strip down, the being searched, then, you know, get your clothes back on and see the nurses and this and that, and then strip back down again and get your county clothing. The whole process can take anywhere from 24 hours to 36 hours to days. It can take 3 to 4 days, 5 days. There's been many stories of multiple days 4 or 5 days of processing just to get a bed.
Oh my gosh. Now, when you were there, were there also a lot of immigrants in prison? Did you notice?
Well, in all fairness, I wouldn't know if they were, yes, of course, from all over the country. Now, did I have relationships with them like that? Not necessarily. So to be able to tell you where they were from or how long they've been in the country or whether they were born here or not, that I cannot tell you.
Now, describe where you slept. How many people were in the cell?
Well, there was many different situations. I'm sorry about that. There were times where I was in a cell by myself just because of where I was located. And that was pretty brief. Then there was times I was in a cell with me and maybe three others. And then there were times where I was in a big dorm, and it's a two-story dorm, and I believe there is 20, no, I'm sorry, I believe there's 66 inmates total, so there's 33 bunks downstairs and 33 upstairs, I'm sorry, 33 beds, and each bed has three racks, so which would be... Yeah. So you've got 66 inmates in one dorm.
Wow. Now I know people, actually my ex-husband's son, ended up in county jail because they actually stole a car anyway. And then of course they got caught, but he was telling me that he actually just got out before he had to choose which gang he had to be a part of. And he had to either decide to shave his eyebrows or shave his hair. And for some reason, he was let out before he had to do either of that. But he had to make, you know, he was seriously trying to figure out what he was going to do. Did you have problems with gangs or being approached by gangs?
You believe it or not, not really. See, what's interesting about, you know, LA County particularly, is, you know, it is racially divided. All of the races are together in one dorm, but they stick with each other. So, for example, me being a white man in jail, of course, I would tend to stick with the other white men. Just the same with any other race. They would stick with their race. And that's pretty, you know, and now you can mingle a little bit here and there. You can talk to, you know, other races, but there are also other, you know, rules and things that come into play. But as long as you really are respectful and, you just stay in line, you shouldn't have any trouble. But you can. I think the ones that really find themselves in the trouble with the gangs could very well be the ones that are in the gangs.
Okay. Is it really hard to make friends then in that environment?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. Who do you want to make friends in that environment? Now, I wouldn't say no, you don't. Or yes, you do. Because I'm sure you can meet some decent people in jail, in prison. And in fact, I'd like to think I did. I'd like to think when people met me that they knew a decent human being. So I will say this. I did meet some, you know, I will say yes. I did make some friends in there. And really, it's actually not hard. Because people can still be people. And what I mean by that is you come across people that can are still calm and collective, and they just, you know, recognize what's going on and what they've done, and they'll be getting out. And so, you know, they're not trying to be somebody they're not. They're just in there and they're trying to pass their time and get out.
Okay, now what does it cost, or what did it cost you to make phone calls? And do the guards listen also?
I don't believe the guards listen. From my understanding, it's the telephone company that the calls go through. They are monitored, I believe recorded. So I don't know if that means that they're always listening. I'm sure they can probably just tap in any time and listen if they'd like, but the calls are definitely being monitored, recorded. But the phone calls, when you think about it, they started at like $3.50 just to connect. And then it was, I believe, 15 cents a minute. $3.50 just to connect that's very expensive, especially for people that are in a position like jail, who are down and out and probably don't have the people to talk to, or their people might not have the expenses like that to use to talk on the phone. They did recently lower the charges, and so it is no longer $3.50 to connect. I believe it's just 25 cents a minute. Once the phone call picks up, it's 25 cents a minute, which is
a lot of money.
Yes, absolutely. Considering the research that I did, the little bit that I did, I read, I can't remember the name of the company that provides the telephone service for the jail, but they really they're getting 1 minute for like 0.3 cents. And then turning around and selling that minute for 25 cents. So there is profit on it, absolutely.
Well, how expensive is the commissaries?
That is very expensive when you consider the things that they're selling is very cheap. And I mean that in every sense of the word. The food is just noodles or chips, or, you know, maybe a pickle. That might be maybe the healthiest thing you can get. Let's see. The shampoos.
What does the pickle cost?
Actually, it's pretty cheap. $1.29, I believe. And that was a hot item. That was a real hot item. If you had a pickle, you know, you was the man. You was able to do a little trade here and there. And everyone, a pickle was always in demand. A pickle was, interestingly, probably one of the hottest items in the dorm.
Oh, wow.
On a late night, come Friday, Saturday night, when you get to stay up late, you know, you're going to see somebody needs a pickle. Somebody needs a pickle. And they're asking everybody to, you know, can they buy a pickle from them?
Are drugs prevalent at the jail?
You know what? I've never seen it, to be honest, and obviously I haven't done it, nor have I seen it. That's something that if you're not into it, then there's no reason to pay attention to it. And you learn that pretty quickly. That's your best bet, because if you don't do it, then you don't need to worry about it, and you don't want to worry about it. You don't want to, you know, try to pay attention to that. It's not your business. And in a place like that, you know, you just pay it no attention. And so that's not a fair, I'm sure there is. But to tell you how much or how heavy or how often, couldn't really answer that. You know, you got to remember, county jail, from even though I've never been to prison, from my understanding, you know, county jail is really, really tight. It's tough.
We're
to
talking LA County Jail. We're being specific.
Yes, that is correct. LA County Jail. I could imagine it'd be tough to get anything around in there. You know, how would you? I mean, There's, well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but Supermax Wayside alone, also known as, well, Pitch's Detention Center, I think the male population out in the Valencia area is maybe 8,000 or 9,000 inmates, and that's also considered LA County Jail. That's not counting downtown Men's Central Jail in downtown Los Angeles.
But were you downtown?
I was at both locations, but I spent about 85% of my sentence in Pitch's Detention Center in the Valencia area.
Okay. All right. That's kind of out in the country.
Yes, it is.
Now,
near Magic Mountain, and there's nothing like getting to drive by Magic Mountain early in the morning on the court bus and on the way back, too.
Did you notice any, are people being abused by the guards? And do you have male, female guards, or are they all male?
Okay, well, just to answer that really quickly, they are male and female guards. Now, there was one time I was actually being processed in, and I was sitting at the one of the benches waiting to see one of the first nurses that you see upon, you know, process. And one young man, apparently for whatever reason, just was having a difficult time there. And I won't ever forget, about four or five sheriffs did pick him up and drag him into another cell, actually about maybe 30 to 40 feet away, because there are, of course, multiple cells all throughout this place. And this young man just happened to scream very, very, very loudly at the top of his lungs. And it did appear, of course, in a pain, because there were no words that he was saying. It was just pure screaming. And there had to have been about maybe 30, 35 other inmates around me in the same line waiting. And I could just only imagine, you know, what they thought, or even what some of the other sheriffs sitting there may have thought, hearing this inmate being processed now screaming. And I'm sure he was fighting, I'm sure he was kicking, but I'm also sure they were restraining him, five or six officers. And, you know, there has been rumor that there has been foul play, if you will, between the sheriffs and the inmates. In fact, one of the inmates a few years ago in LA County died in custody. Lee Baca was heavily involved in that, as I'm sure most of your listeners are aware.
Did you have a chance to really get to know the guards? How often were you moved?
I really wasn't moved quite often, but there were a few times that I was moved a few times pretty quickly. But once I landed where I was, then I would be there. What I mean by that is I didn't waste any time. When I first got locked up, I went right to the school dorm. See, I unfortunately had never graduated and got my high school diploma. Who would have thought that going to jail would help me do that? And that's interesting, because I was able to do something good in jail. And so that's what I did. I immediately went to the school dorm and I stayed in there for about 4 to 5 months. And then they transferred me over to the next school dorm. Don't ask why they do that stuff. But next thing you know, you're being moved to another dorm. And then I was in that dorm for about 2 to 3 months before I sustained an injury to my left ankle that was not related to any type of violence. For the record, it was not related to anything like that. But I did have to go downtown to LA County Jail, because that's where your medical floor is. Anybody who is sick, mentally, physically, or needs any type of medical attention, they will be at the LA downtown LA County Men's Central Jail location. And so when I went there, I was there for about a month, letting my ankle heal. and because I needed crutches, and you can't have crutches in Wayside out in Valencia, or even in the jail, you can't have crutches because of course it can be used as a weapon. So they have to put you by yourself in your own cell. So for the next 30 days, you know, you're just in the cell hanging out and waiting to at least let your ankle heal and get back. Cause believe it or not, as sad as it sounds, you do kind of look forward to the, you know, the people and the connection again, and being around people as even though we're talking about jail, you know, those things happen. And you do look, so go ahead. I'm sorry.
It sounds like there's opportunity to learn and better yourself there. Can you tell us offhand any of the other programs that they have there that you people can participate in?
Absolutely. If they do not have, I'm sorry, if they do have their high school diploma, then they also have what is called the merit program. And the merit program is great because they are classes that start at 8 a.m. and your first class will go to about 10:30, and then you'll head back to the dorm, have lunch, and then you get about 1 hour in the dorm, and then you'll go back to your second merit class that will start about 12:30 and go to about 2:30, and then you'll head back to the dorm. And you know what's so great about the merit program is that it is an opportunity to learn things that you need to take with you from when you leave, because well, hopefully we get to leave. And you know, there's a lot of people in there that aren't leaving anytime soon, and you know, that's very interesting, or they've already been there for 3 to 4 years. But my point is, anyone can take advantage of the merit program, and what it does is it gives you an opportunity to, first of all, get up early and get ready and make your bed, and then go out and go, even though you're still in jail, you're walking down the hallway, you're going to class, you've got your shirt tucked in and you're going to class, and then you are learning, you know, valuable things to hold on to and take with you. And then you're walking back, and as silly as those things may sound, I think it is something to get up early, to get up and get ready and go and learn something. And that always helped me. I was really able to look at it in a sense like, well, there's the old saying, you know, school of hard knocks. And jail, in my opinion, is literally the school of hard knocks. And I happened to be going to school there because I, like I said, I had not graduated high school. And so I went into the high school program immediately. And believe it or not, I graduated less than a year later to the day. I was arrested June 23rd. I think I said 22nd at the beginning. I was arrested June 23rd, 2016, and I had graduated June 22nd, 2017. So literally one day before my year anniversary, I'd already had my high school diploma. I didn't waste any time from there. I did get into the merit program. And again, that was great. They do teach very, what I took from that was the, you know, when you get up in the morning and you just talk to yourself, positive self-talk, and say, you know, I am a winner. I am going to succeed. I'm going to affect someone's life in a positive way, et cetera, et cetera. I am going to be that light that shines for he who strengthens me. And I've taken those things with me from there, and they've become very good patterns that I've used. I can only hope that other inmates do as well, because I believe that the merit program is a good program. You have to, you know, want it for yourself. And it's sad in a sense that that's what it took for me, that I had to go to jail and to, you know, but at the same time, it's not, though, because that just happened. It may be kind of my reality, my wake-up call, if you will.
Oh, I call it camp attitude adjustment.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Yes, absolutely. And it's important. It's very important because, well, most would say that's where it starts, you know, is our attitude, our thoughts. Go ahead.
Do they have inmates? Are they maximum inmates and minimum inmates put together, or do they separate?
Well, for Wayside, excuse me, got a little water. For a place like Wayside, where I spent most of my term, if you will, there is a maximum, supermax, it's called. And it is for levels, I believe, 6, 7, and 8. That's your security level. And then there's levels 4, 3, 4, and 5. And then, you know, or like 2 and 3. I don't know if there's a level 1, to be honest, but there's supermax. Then there's the north part of the facility, and then south. And of course, supermax is your lockdown facility, where north, I happen to go there. It is still, by all means, of course, your LA County jail, but you do get a little bit more freedom outside every single day. In fact, twice a day, you get to go outside in the way that they have the yard set up. And those are things that, of course, mean a lot to people, being able to go outside. And so when you get to North, you know, it is a little bit more, I'm not going to say in no means is it pleasurable, but you take advantage and you enjoy being able to go outside twice a day, where then there's the South facility. And the South facility is just built on one big yard, and they have like bungalows that the inmates sleep in, and they can literally, well, I don't know the rules. I've never been there. I could not go there, in fact. But they, from my understanding, can, you know, wake up, walk outside to the cell phone. I don't know the rules on how long they can stay outside, or if they need to directly go back inside once they're off the phone. But yeah, they have much more movement, outside time. And of course, a lot of those inmates there are kitchen workers. So what they'll do is, from what I was told, they would cook the food down there, or there was food that they'd make and then they'd bring it up the hill for the other inmates to feed the rest of the jail, the population. So, you know, and I'm sure they take advantage of those things. Now they've got jobs. I mean, they're not getting paid, but that's a whole nother topic with the prison system. That's another radio show, Kathy. But, you know, you see these people and they're working, they're doing their job. They're called trustees, and they take advantage of it. So that's how that goes.
I know you probably weren't paying attention because you sounded pretty focused, but did you notice, you know, did inmates fall for their captors, for the guards? Was there a lot of relationships like that going on, or is it pretty, you know, above board?
Yeah, I didn't see any of that. And, you know, nor do you really want to talk to the guards. I mean, I respected them for who they were and what they did, but they, you know, were not my friend. I was not their friend. And so I did not I speak to them like that. And that's typical. Your typical inmate is just not really talking to the guard like that. And the guards are not talking to the inmates. And it makes sense.
Have you noticed, was there a suicide problem while you were there?
I did not notice that. I was not housed in that part of the jail where your more mental cases are. So I did not experience that.
Okay, now, how important is it for people to receive mail in jail?
Very, very important. Very important. In fact, it could probably be up there with the biggest highlight of being in jail when you get some mail. Mail is very important.
All right, guys, remember that. You can be a pen pal. Okay. All right, now let's touch base a little bit. Okay, now you're being released from prison. What do you have to go through? And how hard is it to find work? How hard was it for you to find a job?
Well, being released was also very different for me. And I think it's important that you understand that, and your listeners as well, of course. I was never really sentenced and did time. You see what I mean? My sentence was postponed, believe it or not, up until the last day that I was in jail. I was literally sentenced, and then right after that, time served and released after 21 months. Now, let me explain to you how that happened, Kathy, so that you and your listeners can have an understanding of how that happened. When I was arrested in June of 2016, I was in the Men's Central in downtown Los Angeles for about maybe 3 weeks. I immediately went up to the Wayside facility in Valencia and enrolled shortly thereafter in the school program. About 9 months in, I finally got my first offer from the district attorney, which was 5 years, the maximum being 7 years for my type of case. So it took 9 months before I finally got any type of offer. And my offer was 5 years, which my public defender and I declined. Well, about another, 6 or 7 months went by, and I still was facing the 5 years. The DA was not lowering my sentence. So all the while, I am still, you know, doing my time. 17 months in, I finally started to get an idea of what we were looking at. And that was that the judge had decided 3 years. She was considering the low term 3 years. So we were getting a little bit better of deals going on, but also that had a lot to do with my public defender and me staying. Well, let me take that back. First of all, I do have to recognize God, the Lord, and the miracles that I think that he worked, and the doors that he opened, the locked doors that he opened, because I believe that he was ultimately behind this. And so thanks be to God. With that said, the public defender and the wisdom that he was given, and then, of course, me being in school really helped. The judge witnessed me get my high school diploma. That was very important to her. She saw me get into the merit program immediately, and on one of my court cases, I actually brought two report cards, if you will, reports from, you know, my merit teachers, and they were all exceptional. And so even through my time in jail, I was benefiting in a strange way. I was gaining knowledge and learning and applying, you know, what I was learning to my life, my daily character, and who I was as an individual. And the judge was seeing that. My conduct with the judge was always very, yes, Your Honor, yes, ma'am. Yes, Your Honor, I understand, because that's also important. But we still decided not to go with the 3 years. And long story short, the judge went with 2 years after I'd been in for about 17 to 18 months. The judge offered 2 years, and which would leave me about 4 more months to serve. So the judge said, okay, you'll do 2 years. I came back on March 22nd, 2018, and that's when the judge sentenced me at 2 years because it was a violent crime. You serve 85% of your time, which is a prison sentence, 85% on a violent felony. And 85% of 2 years is 21 months. So on my 21st month, March 22nd, I went to court that day. The judge sentenced me then and time served me then, and I was released that day.
Wow. How hard was it on your family when you were?
Well, it was very, very difficult on my mother, first and foremost, from the beginning to the end. Right when I called her, June 23rd, 2016, at about 11:36 in the morning, I believe it was roughly, until the end. Very, very difficult. Now, as far as any other family, I really didn't speak to much family. I did speak with one of my cousins one time because my mother happened to be there at their house, and that was different. I don't want to do that again, but you know,
your mom, what? It was in a different state, right? Did she come see you at all? Was it that, easy?
Oh, absolutely. She was so, so great through the entire process. Of course, mentally and spiritually through prayer, but she also came through with letters and financially, you know, and that's a big part of jail is, you know, she helped financially as well. And so I was able to get me some things, and she saw to it that I was taken care of. And you know what that does is it makes it a little easier, but still all the while it's just as hard on her. I don't think it was ever easy on her. It only kind of helps the person in jail who really probably doesn't deserve it in the first place. Like me, let me say that I really didn't deserve all the help that she gave me. But she did, and she always has.
When she came to at times, did she ever have a hard time coming in to seeing you? You know, or show up and you were, you know, she wasn't able to see you for some reason?
No. I do think there was one time she had to wait a little longer than she'd expected, but they still got her in. And of course, I was waiting, like, you know, she was waiting and for whatever happened. But we were still able to see each other. Now, of course, there was the time that I graduated and they had a big graduation ceremony. And my mother drove all the way from Amarillo, Texas to California to be at my graduation ceremony and watch me graduate on stage through Five Keys, high school diploma, Los Angeles County jail style. But she did. She came, and I'll never forget, she was sitting in the first or second row, and she looked at me, smiled real big, waved at me. And, you know, that's always important, too, because the love is still there. You know, her love for me never changed. In fact, it probably grew even stronger. But she did. In fact, one of the sheriffs said something up on stage because they knew she'd come from Texas. And they said, I don't think we've got anyone who came further than this woman here. She's all the way from Texas. So she might have even set a record for traveling the furthest to attend the ceremony.
Aw, how hard is it for people in jail when they don't have anybody on the outside to help them? How do you get money? How do you earn, you know, when you don't have an outlet? You just go without?
Well, no. Excuse me one second. Excuse me, Kathy. I'm sure it has an effect, you know, because there are also, you know, homeless people that go to jail. And or whatever the situation may be for that person, that they don't have nobody there for them. I'm not, you know, sure how that affects them, but there are things you can do, interestingly, and that is things like wash somebody's jumpsuit, you know, their county jumpsuit. You say, hey, let me wash your jumpsuit for two soups. And you kind of go back to like maybe the old-fashioned way of doing things. And so if you can wash two people's, you know, jumpsuit for two soups each, then you got four soups right there. And that could last you, you know, 2 or 3 days. And, well, you know.
How do you cook it?
Well, there's a hot water, hot water steamer, if you will, built into the wall.
Oh.
And as long as you're being good little inmates, then the deputy will leave it on for you. But if you're being bad little inmates, then the deputy turns off the hot water. Then you're in trouble. And that's also what's interesting about LA County Jail is kind of the little games that are played. And what I mean by little games are just that, you know, if a deputy's, you know, upset about something, and he might have a right to be, but because something that maybe have happened in the dorm, he's turning the hot pot off or he's turning the TV off, and you're not getting it back until the next deputy comes on or whenever. And, you know, I think that can really kind of, you know, that as an inmate, then you kind of look at the deputy like, it's difficult because, again, as I mentioned, inmates and deputies, you know, they don't have a relationship like that anyway. But then, you know, they're turning off the hot pot. They're turning the TV off on us because somebody walked through without their T-shirt on. You know, silly, silly rules because they sat down at the TV with their T-shirt off. Now, granted, we should be able to understand it. We should know you can't be in the day room without a T-shirt on. You know, we should be able to understand it. Then again, that's probably why we're in jail. You know, if we couldn't even understand the laws that exist in society, it's no wonder that we can't even follow the rules in jail.
Standing though, it's not, you know, not saying you guys are really good guys all the time, but, you know, like down in the Florida prison system, all the prison guards are literally family and it goes back generations. So it's all like homies and good old boys and they protect each other and they're, you know, if they do something wrong, you know, good old boys protect each other. And the inmate will get in trouble, not the guards.
Absolutely. Of course, absolutely. And, you know, I didn't know of much of any of the guards really that were family. I did hear of one female guard. Apparently her brother, I guess, had some type of gang affiliation, but that again was just something I'd heard. Don't know if it's true or not, but anyway, yeah, I did not really see too many guards nor do I know the history of the guards if they're family or, you know, like that.
So you got a job now and you're doing well.
That is correct. I do have a job. I'm working full time. And Monday through Saturday, actually now. And that's great. I have been managing to keep myself out of trouble. As I mentioned earlier in the show, I am on parole and I have been for a year and a half now. And within the next 6 months, my parole could be finished if it's approved by, the parole board. So we'll go from there in 6 months. And but as I mentioned, because I'm staying out of trouble, I am integrating back into society and working and paying my taxes, and I'm not worried about it. And that really helps me feel good today from what it is that, you know, I went through. I only did 21 months. And some may say only 21 months. Well, yeah, I only did 21 months. You've got to remember that there are people that have already been locked up in LA County Jail for 5 years because of the severity of their case. And they've been fighting it for 3, 4, 5 years there. So it kind of puts your 21 months in the perspective like, wow, okay, well, you know, yeah, it was a drag. In fact, I actually had multiple inmates tell me, why didn't I go to prison? They said I should have went to prison because prison was easier, actually easier than LA County.
Wow.
But as I mentioned, I've told you that story already, that the judge had something else in mind and I ended up getting the lowest term. Remember, I told you the low term was 3 years on my sentence and the judge actually ended up granting me 2. So she went even lower than the low term. She took one additional year off and
earned it. And you made something out of your time, which was pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's not a bad point there, Kathy.
You know, you were productive and, you know, you decided to change your life and you did. So I have to honor you for that. And God, this hour is over. You realize we've gone through an hour, how quick that has gone?
Well, time flies when you're having fun, huh?
Yeah. So I have to thank you very much for coming on and sharing your experiences. And I want to tell everybody next week, I'm going to have Victor Salama on from First Friends of New Jersey and New York. And that's the group that's helping immigrants in prison. And we're really going to get into what's happening to them next week. So you have a good Zach, and thanks for coming on.
Kathy, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity again, and to your listeners, thank you to you. I hope this was helpful. And Kathy, you have a good night as well.
All right, everybody, this is Kathy Bilski, the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show on UPR and radio. And again, this is, depending on where you're at, Friday, September 20th. And we'll see you next week. Aloha, everybody. Good night.
The delicious sound of McDonald's breakfast sausage hitting the grill. Hot and savory sausage that makes any breakfast a great one. And if sausage is the taste you love, you're going to love this savory deal. Because now you can get 3 tasty breakfast sandwiches for just $1. A sausage McGriddles, sausage McMuffin, or sausage biscuit, now each for just $1. Hot and tasty, fast and easy. That's breakfast at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Hey, sports fans, football season is here, and the time has come for you and your friends to have some fun. MyBookie.net is the industry-leading sports action website that offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, basketball, college, and all your favorite sports events. You can take a side, total, or try their in-game live action. Go to MyBookie.net to open an account and use promo code CHAMPION to be entered into our amazing prize pool. That's MyBookie.net, promo code CHAMPION. Get in on the action today.
No deposit is necessary. Terms and conditions apply for entertainment purposes only. Void where prohibited.